So with that, today I wanted to deviate from the book of Colossians, where we found ourselves a number of Sundays and spend a little bit of time going back to the Old Testament and looking at the First Kings, the book of First Kings, chapter 17, 15 first verses. And in there, I'm certain you have read and heard of the story that's written in those particular 15 verses, but it is such a wonderful example, and you can might even say it's such an extreme example of the faith in God. And so maybe perhaps now that I have a child and I have a new appreciation for life, as I read this example, it was that much more powerful for me to absorb it. And so with that, I wanted for us to read these 15 verses and spend a couple of minutes thinking through them. So 1 Kings, once again, chapter 17, verses 1 through 15, say the following. And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel lives before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, except at my word." Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook of Cherith, which flows into Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. Then ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening. And he drank from the brook, and it happened after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Please bring me a little water and cup that I may drink." And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, "Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." So she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I don't have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare for myself and my son that we may eat and die." And Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid," or "do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me, and afterwards make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord of God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day of the Lord sends rain on the earth." So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and her household ate for many days. And so as we read that story, I'm certain that it's not the first time for any of you that you have heard of that story. But as I mentioned, Russian, as I was rereading this extreme example of faith, certain things just jumped out at me that I wanted to share. And perhaps it is because we are living to some extent in similar times, or perhaps it is that because now that we grow in life and now that I have a child, I can see things slightly differently. And when I come to passages like this, I wonder whether if I was in the shoes of the widow of the Zarephath, whether I would have done the same thing. But with that, let's briefly look at the passage. And as we started reading the passage, you saw there in chapter 17 and verse 1 that Elijah, and who's Elijah? Elijah is the prophet, as a quick reminder. He's appearing before Ahab, the king, and he tells the king what? He tells him that it's not going to rain for the next, well, he says it's not going to rain in these days until my word comes again. And so remember that Elijah was appearing in front of a king that was actively persecuting all the prophets. And remember, the king's wife's name was what? It was Jezebel. And her and her husband Ahab did a lot of bad things. And remember, the pastor was reminding us that she was actively killing a lot of the prophets of God. And so if we were to think of the time that Elijah approached the king, it was in a very, very troublesome time. The king, again, was exterminating and killing all of the prophets. So you could say that it was during a time that was not very friendly to prophets. It was not very friendly to those that truly believed in God. It was a time of mayhem, you could say, for the true believers of God. And if you compare us now, day and age, to that time, we could see that we are, to some extent, also now living at the time of trouble. It's not as bad as it was in the time of Elijah. We're not getting persecuted in this particular country for our belief in God, but it seems like it's certainly in that trajectory in other countries of the world that is happening. And look what happens. It's in that time of trouble, where persecution is happening, where the prophets are being killed by King Ahab and Elijah. It is during that time that Elijah goes to the king in the midst of all that trouble and tribulation and basically tells the king that prophecy. A prophecy of what? A prophecy of that it's not going to rain for the next couple of years. And so I want to bring our attention to what? To the first item that I want to highlight from the story is that full obedience to God's word, as we will see in this. And the following example is what I see in this passage. His full obedience is what Elijah exhibits regardless of the circumstances in which he lives. And look, that example of full obedience doesn't really stop at Elijah approaching the king, but you can see it continue forward in this next verses. It says, as you read on, that once Elijah prophesied to King Ahab, it says, look in verse 2, then the word of the Lord came to him, to Elijah, to get away from there. And look at Elijah's response. It is, again, the response of full obedience. God says, get away from there, go to a brook. And what does Elijah do? Elijah goes away and goes to the brook. So for us, the example ought to be is that a full obedience to God's word, regardless of the time or the period that we live in. And if we look at the scriptures, and if we search to the scriptures, we see that over and over again, that concept repeated. Think back to, for example, Noah. He was living during a time and building the ark where nobody else believed what he was saying and everyone was laughing at him. But regardless, he demonstrated full obedience. Abraham, same thing. He was walking around. Joseph, and the examples go on and on and on of the forefathers that have exhibited their faith, demonstrated their faith by full obedience. So the question becomes, well, what about us? How are we doing in that area? We have the word of God here. Are we being obedient? The second thing that I wanted to highlight from us from this wonderful story is not only did Elijah have full obedience, but he also had full trust in the word of God, which is very similar to obedience, but yet a little bit different. And what do I mean by that? If you look to verses 6 through 9, as the story unfolds, as God tells Elijah to get away from the city and go into the brook, and Elijah goes there, right? He goes and we see that he is fed by ravens. Birds bring him food. And of course, in our day and age, and prior to that day and age, we've never heard of anyone being fed by birds. So that alone, having faith that God was going to sustain him, must have taken so much. But Elijah did it. He had full obedience and full trust that in whatever God said, he would do. And if God said, the birds will feed you, the birds certainly did feed him. But not only that, look at what happened. You can imagine, if you take yourself there mentally, that here he is, he's sitting by some brook. And for those of you that have been camping, you all know what a brook looks like, a little river. He's sitting there for a number of years. The birds come and go, and Elijah certain prays in the morning and in the evenings, reads a scroll perhaps if he had brought some scripture with him. And the funny thing happens. As he's sitting there week after week, maybe walking around, and he looks at the brook, he starts noticing that there's less and less water there with every passing day. There's less and less water there. Why is there less water? Well, because in verse 2, what did he pray for? He said that there's going to be no rain. So it stopped raining after verse 1, basically. So why is there less water? It's because there's no rain. He knew that the brook was going to dry up, that God sent him to a brook that it was going to dry up. And as he was sitting there, he was clearly observing that as every day passed, there was less and less and less water. To the point where, if you read in verse 7, it says, "And it happened after a while that the brook dried up." It happened. Obviously, it stopped raining, and the brook dried up. And what's happening with Elijah? I want you to notice that as the brook is drying up, he doesn't panic. He doesn't start running away, but he stays there and he maintains his position. Why? Because God told him to get away and go to the brook. And God told him that he was going to feed him through the birds, that they were going to bring him meat and bread, and they were doing so. And the fact that he was seeing this water deteriorate and disappear in front of his eyes, was that a trial in itself? I'm certain that it was. He must have been thinking, geez, where am I going to get water? But he maintained faithful, and he maintained having his full trust in the Lord, because he knew that if the Lord had power to have these birds maintain him through food, he certainly had power, and his will would take care of him and point him to where to go next with water. So the second point I want us to take away from here is that we, like Elijah, are to have full trust. We might see things that are happening with us or in our lives that don't make sense. Things that certainly increase the level of anxiety in all of our lives. But if God's word is true to Elijah, it is as ever true to us as well. And we are to believe it and maintain it. And so here, Elijah had full trust, and he didn't fret. He didn't have anxiety. He stayed at the place even when the water ran out. And what happened? Did God let him die? No. Finally, when the water ran out, and so to say, Elijah proved himself yet again to God that he didn't run away. He proved himself once again to God by maintaining and sticking it out all the way to the end. You see what happens in verse 9 and 10 and 11. The word of the Lord comes to him one more time and says, "Elijah, now you must leave." Does it make sense? Of course it makes sense. Now you must leave. Now that the water is dried up in the brook, you must go somewhere else and be maintained. Which brings me to the final and the third point that is oh so clearly demonstrated. And again, the first was full obedience that Elijah demonstrated. The second one is full trust in the word of God. And lastly, he demonstrates priority or supremacy of the word of God. And what I mean by that is that we have different things in our life that are competing for our attention. Some things are work, for example, children, what have you. And he demonstrates, and what we see from the story is that the word of God and God himself needs to be on the very, very top of that pyramid. And so he and both the widow demonstrate that for us in the examples that are written in the verses 10 through 15. What do I mean by that? Well, I mean the following. If you read those verses 10 through 15, you see that Elijah goes to this place called Zarephath. And God tells him that he has prepared a widow to take care of him there. So he goes there and he sees a widow. And if you read the story, you see that the widow is gathering sticks so that she may just bake a little bread, eat it with her son, and die. Why? Because it says that she only had the very, very last portion of flour left in her cauldron. And so if you just pause and mentally bring yourself to what was happening in those five verses, it's actually phenomenal. That's why I think and I see that these examples are being extreme. Because oftentimes we read the story and we just kind of skate over them, and we don't actually see the not the validity, but we don't see the realness of the examples that are written there. And as I read and as I think about what was happening, I could just imagine this prophet coming and having a conversation with a widow that had nothing but her son and just a little bit of flour. And as she's gathering sticks, he basically tells her, "Could you bring me something to eat?" And she obviously responds that, "I have nothing. I have nothing at all. And I have a last portion of flour." And he again reiterates to her, "Well, bring that to me first." Why? Because if you do, God will sustain you for the rest of this famine. And to us, as I read that, and I try to put that into the common scenario that we would have right now, or if I imagine, well, what would have been reported if like a current CNN journalist were hiding somewhere in the bushes and was able to record this particular conversation that occurred? And I think our day and age journalists would probably record or report this something along the lines of, you know, prophet, fundamentalist, asking widow for her last bread based on his extremist views and beliefs in God. He might even get equated maybe to a bigot or so. Why? Because again, the gravity of the scenario is just so extreme if you think about it. I mean, think of maybe if this was happening at nowadays and age, one of our pastors would be asking a dirt poor starving person, "Well, I know you have one piece of bread left, but give it to me and don't worry, God will sustain you." That's the level of conversation that was happening. And as I think about that, it might not have been easy for Elijah perhaps to do that. Why? Because our natural reaction of all of us human beings when we see other people in pain isn't necessarily to ask for the last piece of bread that they have. But here, Elijah demonstrated that he gave full priority to God's word. And if God said, "Go, and I have a widow for you, and you will take care of her," and if that meant that he needed to ask her for the last piece of bread, he certainly did that so the word of God would be executed. But that's not the only example. Look also at the example that we see of actions of this widow and her response to Elijah. Not only did Elijah put priority of the word of God above all else in his life, as was demonstrated step after step after step, but the widow did the same. And that is so amazing. And please don't miss that as we read the story. She was on the other side of this coin. She's the one that has a child. She's the one that you could tell from the story is starving. And here's this guy, here's this prophet that comes to her. And it's unclear to us how much exactly she knew of him or not. And it's unclear to us whether she was a firm believer or not. Because later on in the verses she says, "As your God says," as you believe in your God. She doesn't call God her own God, but she refers to God as being the God of Elijah until the miracles happen. So it's unclear to us how much of a believer she was. But what is clear to us is as you see this man of God talking to her and asking her for the last piece of bread that she has, that she actually does it. That she puts the interest of her own life and that of her son and that of her family, and she gives to God, she gives to the prophet what he is asking for. And to me, that is such a powerful and such an extreme example. Why? Because it is so radically different to what we observe now, day and age, in the church and in the lives of everyone, not only in the world, but also in the lives of the church around us. And was she, in retrospect, right in making her decision and dedicating everything to God? And of course, the answer to that, yes, because the word of God was true. She gave her last piece of bread, but because of that, God sustained her for the next 3 years of the famine as it unfolded. And so as we think about our own lives, as we think about full obedience, full trust in the Lord, and then also having God's word and full priority over our lives, is it there? Would be my question for myself and for you. Is it there? Is it there to the point that we saw it in Elijah's life and in the lives of the widow? And oftentimes, when I look even at my own life and we look at the lives of others at church, I'm not necessarily talking about our church, but church in general, the American church, the answer to that is oftentimes, oh, no. It's not the case. Why? Because even when you look around how the church is structured and how people structure their families and life, it seems like everyone is chasing that thing, that level of comfort for either themselves or their kids. Oh, my kids like it better here. Oh, my kids like it better there, or what have you. But when you look at this widow here, the example that she's giving all of us, myself included in the first part, is that the Word of God and following it was placed above all, including the kids. Because you can see that she took that bread from her son and she gave it to the prophet. May his name be glorified. Amen.